Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Let's move on. My name is Govan Whittle, standing in for Pamelo Mutene on Point of View. The time now is 9:38. And we encourage you to send us your tweets on Kaya On Air or send us your voice notes on the WhatsApp line. It's 0636880959. It's now time for our Impact on Point of View feature. And today we're profiling the Sifiso Learning Group with its founder and CEO, Sizwe Nxasana. Mr. Nxasana is the founder and CEO of Future Nation Schools and the Sifiso Learning Group. He's the chairman of IKUSASA Student Financial Aid Program, which funds and supports students pursuing occupations and critical skills from the missing middle background. If there's one person that knows how to make something happen, it's Mr. Nxasana. Of course, we know him from his time as the First Rand chairperson, but I also know him as the director of the Solidarity Fund, and he chairs the fundraising committee. This is a real South African. He has been conferred with an honorary doctorate by the universities of Fort Hare, the Durban University of Technology, the University of Johannesburg, and my alma mater, the Walter Sisulu University. That's where I graduated, Mr. Nxasana. Welcome to Point of View. It's a pleasure to have you here with us, sir.
Good evening, Govan. Good evening to all the listeners.
It really is great to speak to you. And this feature is about speaking about impact and making an impact in education. We'll talk about the Sifiso Learning Group and the Future Nation Schools in a moment. But I figured I should ask you what you define as impact and what your attitude is towards making an impact.
Well, impact is having something that yields certain desired outcomes, whatever they are. Because, you know, impact can be positive as well as negative. It can have both connotations. In this context, I guess you're talking about positive impact. In other words, those initiatives that seek to make things better, that seek to improve, particularly the lives of people. So, yes, that's what impact is for me.
And you've obviously dedicated a substantial amount of your time and energy to making an impact in the education sector. What sparked your desire to have that be your focus, the education sector?
Well, a lot of us, I guess if you talk to any parent or any person in the country, I don't think there's anyone who doesn't have a passion for education. But for me, when we talk about all the challenges that we face in the country, the problems that particularly our children face every day, especially those that may be in no fee paying schools, and there are many of them, it is about, you know, how do we make things better? How do we work with government to make things better by mobilizing resources, partners, skills, and so on, to work with government to make it better for those children who are at the end of, you know, the chain, in other words, in the classrooms and so on, to get at least a better deal. Because, yes, government has been trying for the last 30 years, but we all know that the challenges remain. There are still many, many challenges in the education system. There are many challenges in other systems as well, health and housing and so on. But, you know, for me, I decided to dedicate this chapter of my life in education.
It's interesting that you were the chairperson of NSFAS between 2015 and 2018, and you're the current chairman of ISFAP, ISFAP, which funds the missing middle. That's kind of like creating the solution immediately after seeing the problem. It's very impressive.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was about. Because, I mean, we know, you know, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme does a lot of work in the country to provide financial aid to a lot of deserving students out there. But, you know, the challenges remain. And And the creation of IKUSASA Student Financial Aid Program was addressing some of the challenges, not all of them, but some of the challenges that are faced by NSFAS, particularly when it comes to systems, processes, how students apply, how we pay, whether it's paying universities or service providers, including accommodation providers and all of this. And, you know, we've created a platform which is really, high tech. It uses a lot of technology. We work with a lot of partners to make things happen in a very, very efficient way. So, yes, that's how ISFAP came about, actually. Mm-hmm. It was realizing what are the problems in the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and trying to create something that could solve a lot of those problems.
And that brings us to the Sifiso Learning Group. Many of us are familiar with the Future Nation Schools, but could you just tell us what exactly the Sifiso Learning Group and the Future Nation Schools are and what they do?
So, I created Sifiso Learning Group in 2017 to address a number of issues. And, yes, Sifiso Learning Group is a private company and Future Nation Schools are independent schools, but we work quite a lot with government in, again, trying to address the issues in education. So we're not just like other independent schools. So the number of things that we do, for instance, within the group, we have obviously the Future Nation Schools. We adopt an Afrocentric approach to learning and teaching, preparing young people for the skills of the future. So we adopt a learning and teaching model called project-based learning or problem-based learning. It's all about, developing the skills and competencies of young people, because we've seen that in the last 30 years, our CAPS curriculum is largely focused on knowledge. And only now is the Department of Basic Education, through an initiative called Curriculum Strengthening, that they're starting to address the issue of skills and competences and attitudes on, in addition to the knowledge piece. Mm. We've been doing that since 2017, and we share a lot of what we do with government. And we mobilize, partners, private sector partners and foundations to work in government schools. So we run a number of initiatives in a number of government schools throughout the country to essentially, use our schools as a laboratory of what can be done in terms of teacher training, in terms of curriculum, taking exactly the same CAPS curriculum, and how you can teach it in a way that is really beneficial and imparts those skills and competences amongst young people from preschool all the way to grade 12.
You're talking about teaching differently, sir?
Yes.
And what does that look like in a practical sense?
So in a practical sense, let me just make an example. I'm a qualified teacher, by the way. So I did teaching about 4 years ago now. Mm. So I do teach. And in fact, I train a lot of teachers these days. So practically what it means is, let me just give an example. So if you teach entrepreneurship, you can't teach entrepreneurship as a subject on its own because mathematics matters. English or any of our indigenous languages matter if you are teaching entrepreneurship. Geography matters. So what you will find at Future Nation Schools is what we call multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary teaching. So I teach, I'm a qualified teacher in economic management sciences, accounting and business studies. And in my class, you may often find that I'm teaching with a languages teacher, with a mathematics teacher, with a geography teacher, because we're teaching about entrepreneurship, for instance, in agriculture. We're teaching entrepreneurship in a manufacturing or in technology sense, as an example. And it's important for knowledge to be delivered, not in silos, as it's typically the case in schools, but in an integrated fashion. Because, you will know, Govin, that when you go to any shop, and you want to buy a service or a product, you don't just use one dimension when you're manufacturing or you're selling that product. You use all dimensions, and therefore you cannot teach entrepreneurship just on its own, as an example. But that applies to every subject in our schools, from preschool all the way up So in the foundation phase, where you have three subjects, you may have life skills, language and mathematics, and life skills as an example. You know, you have to start by solving problems, using those subjects to solve problems or create projects, you know, every day. That's what we do in our schools.
Yeah, that's as a parent with kids in school, I mean, that's exactly what I want to hear, and that's what I hope that my child will be taught. But some of us, we're not at the Future Nation School yet, sir. Give us a chance. And I see in some of the information here that with the Sifiso Learning Program, you do capsulined coding and robotics programs tailored to each phase. And you have smart classroom infrastructure with laptops, tablets, projectors, and smart boards. Now, you say that you've been helping the government schools, right? Haven't you found that there's a big disconnect, that the river is too wide to cross?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Department of Basic Education is actually moving in this direction. And they have an initiative called Curriculum Strengthening. And essentially what that is about taking the CAPS curriculum, which is a curriculum that's, you know, obviously offered in all the 25,000 public schools in the country, and adapting it in a way that will achieve these outcomes. In other words, that will help young people solve problems, be critical thinkers, be entrepreneurs, be able to work with one another, and so on. So, and because we've been doing this for, you know, it is our ninth year now, we're able to impart our lessons as well as, you know, the mistakes that we've made along the way, because, you know, we've been doing this for the last 8 years. And in any situation where you are trying new things, there are always going to be, you know, things that you learn along the way. So we're doing that. As I said, you know, we work in pretty much, you know, the whole country. We mobilize partners, essentially private sector partners or non-governmental organizations, you know, and work at a provincial level with schools and provinces and districts to do this. Mm. So just last year alone, we covered some 83 schools in 8 provinces last year. So we've created a teacher college. So we now have Future Nation College, which is essentially a teacher college that focuses largely on those teachers who are already in the system teaching, you know, from preschool all the way up to grade 12.
It must be an amazing catalyst for the government schools to benefit from the success that you've had. Could you talk to us about the success of the Future Nation schools and the colleges?
Yeah, so, you know, we're still growing. You know, education is a long-term game. So we have 2 campuses with just about 1,500 you know, learners in our schools. You know, one of our schools is in Fleurhof in near Meadowlands in Soweto, and the other one is in Linders, just 2 kilometers from Alexandra. So, you know, we try and, as I said earlier, we innovate, we train our teachers rigorously. Our teachers go through training every week on various things, you know, whether it's sharpening their skills in the classroom or integration of technology or how they manage their classrooms using project-based learning as an approach to learning and teaching. You know, we've been particularly successful. For instance, this year, for the very first time, our Fleurhof, you know, Meadowlands campus is hosting an international conference on project-based learning. So we have people coming from Europe, from China, India, to come and see what we do in South Africa. You know, so for me, we were not just selected as a partner to do this. It's because, yes, we're learning. Yes, we can't say we know it all, but we're trying every day. Our teachers, we have amazing teachers and leadership at Future Nation Schools and Sifiso Learning Group to do all of these things. But we share these things, as I said earlier, with you know, particularly the public system, because our desire is that all the 13 million children in our country that are in schools, you know, get the standard and quality of education that is improving.
It goes without saying that you have a 100% pass rate, right, for matrics?
Of course. Yep. Well, not just 100% pass rate. We have 100% bachelor's pass rate.
What?
Matric, bachelor's pass. And in fact, in our schools, we do mathematics. We do not teach mathematics literacy because we believe every child, and we don't write entrance exams. We write essentially benchmark tests just for the kids who are coming in, particularly a grade, you know, whether it's grade one or grade eight. And our teachers do an amazing job of supporting the children, our learners, to make sure that, you know, they succeed. And yeah, the formula is working.
Yeah, Mr. Nglasane, you clearly have the secret sauce, you know, if people are coming from overseas to come and learn how we're doing it here. Congratulations on how you're pulling that off. I see that you also have Sifiso EdTech. It's that education tech, right? What does that entail, right, sir?
So, you know, it entails the integration of technology, understanding that technology plays a very important role in all of our lives. And of course, in the lives of our children. And when you look at the future world of work, you cannot ignore the impact of technology. Right now, we're working with some partners to look at how we develop a curriculum for artificial intelligence for schools, as an example. Everybody talks about the impact of AI these days. So it's not good enough for us as Africans, particularly, to be consumers of a lot of these applications that we use today, not just ChatGPT. There are many, many artificial intelligence applications that are out there. So what's important for us, especially here in Africa, is to teach our children all the different coding languages, to teach them data handling, use technology, for instance, to understand and mine, as well as generate solutions out of data. And in fact, when you think about, for instance, the impact of our languages on learning and teaching, the fact that they've been relegated, and the Department of Basic Education is now talking about mother tongue-based bilingual education, we can use technology to fast-track the use of our indigenous languages, whether it's Ipedi or, you know, Chivanga or Sichonga and so on, as languages of learning and teaching, by using large language models as an example. So, but our children need to understand how to use these technologies, how to be part and parcel of creating solutions out of, for instance, artificial intelligence. So that's very important. So that's what we do in Sifiso EdTech. It's an education technology company that's focused particularly on education solutions.
And are you happy with the level of success that you've had with the education tech company?
Well, you know, when you're an entrepreneur like me, you're never satisfied because you're always looking for solutions. Because, you know, once you are satisfied, then you're going to plateau and you're going to start to decline. So, you know, and as we know, whether it is our schools or it is technology or it is our teacher training college, you know, we're still very young. You know, 8 years or 9 years in education is very, very short because education is a long-term game. So, yes, we still have a long way to go. But, you know, we believe we are on the right track. We are small, but, you know, we're starting to have a real positive impact on the big system.
You know, Mr. Nglasane, everything that you've described sounds like a golden opportunity. And the main question running through my mind is whether my kid can get into a future nation school, or whether there's any chance of my child being at a school that will end up partnering with the Sifiso Learning Group. But is that a possibility? How does it work?
Well, as I said, we work with a lot of partners out there to try and extend some of the programs or initiatives that we have, because we understand that, you know, we don't take any government subsidies. So the company has been, and the schools have been, you know, funded initially to get them going by, you know, my family. And then obviously parents pay fees, but, you know, we try and make fees affordable. But affordability, as we all know, is a relative concept. What is affordable to one person is not affordable to another. But this is why we work particularly with non-fee paying schools, in other words, quintile 1, 2, and 3 schools of government, because those schools cater for those who can least afford. And if we can impart some of our knowledge and skills to those schools, obviously in partnership with others, we have a lot of other partners that we work with. We can improve the lives of a lot of those children who otherwise may not have had those opportunities.
It reminds me of the saying, lift as you rise. But the question then is, if you're super successful, then obviously what would happen? What's the end game to future nation schools? Because then everyone would be on the same level if you're able to impart this radical style of teaching.
That would be great. You know, if we can work our way out of our jobs, that would be an ultimate win. No, I'm really being very, very serious. But we must understand that, you know, schooling takes many years. You know, if you started at grade 1 or grade R, it's 13 years to really see the impact. For a child who is 4 years old, maybe doing grade RR today, will never see the impact, you know, in the next 14 years. So there's a long way to go. And we tweak and we adjust and we learn from others as we go, including government. So the impact, I mean, if you think about it, you have schools today in South Africa that are more than 100 years old, many of them. And those schools are still going. Have they solved all the problems in education? The answer is no. Well, so in the next 100 years, we'll still be at it.
And long may future nation schools prosper, as well as the Sifiso Learning Group. Thank you so much, Mr. Sizwe Ngcasana, for your time joining us here on the impact feature of Point of View. Thank you, sir, and appreciate
Thank
your
you,
insights.
Thanks.
That was really insightful, and I think that we have a lot to learn from people like Mr. Sizwe Ngcasana. And I think also from the people that we've interviewed throughout the night. It's been a pleasure for me to stand in for Pamela Mutene on The Point of View. I'm Govan Whittles, and good night. See you tomorrow.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.